I grew up in the Melbourne suburb of Brunswick, and one of my after-school rituals with friends is we used to ride our bikes up to Lygon Street, Brunswick, to the old Lebanese nut shop that was there, and we would get whatever the loose change in our pockets could buy in nuts and go and sit and eat them down by the Merry Creek. It was one of those things that I loved about growing up in this suburb. So my heart sank late last year when I walked past and saw the place closed for development. It was being sold. That was it. I thought, this is creeping gentrification striking again. Your heart breaks a little bit every time something like that happens. But the good news was, it wasn't going to some developer who was putting up townhouses. It was going to a woman called Hanna Asafiri. Melburnians would know Hanna from her institution, the Moroccan Souk Bar, which is now known to people across the country because of the cookbook that's come out, celebrating some of the stories from that community and some of the amazing recipes. So I'm sitting in Hanna's new extraordinary delicacy, on the home of the old nut shop. Hanna, hi, how are you doing?
Hi, how are you?
Now, you were a customer of this nut shop for many years, weren't you?
I guess yes, and naive sentimentality brought me back here. I could not stand by and let the old nut shop that I was so attached to close down and go down the path of development.
Well, it's very comforting to come back. The place is in many ways transformed. The narrow shelves and the kind of difficult to navigate interior is now beautifully opened up, but the window still looks exactly the same. There's still the same array of nuts in the window. Hopefully not the same actual nuts, but close enough. How much did you want to honour the spirit of the shop that was originally here, and how much did you want to transform it into something new?
I guess in order to understand a little bit me and my motivations, I gain meaning in life through a number of things, primarily redressing some of the inequities that we find ourselves fumbling across. The preservation of the nut shop is to me about reclaiming all that is beautiful in a culture that has sadly been associated with a lot of negativity. And namely, and specifically I'm talking about Islam and Muslim women. So my quest was, in refurbishing the nut shop, was to offer up an openness that is necessary, an engagement where you can come in and inquire and ask, what does it Asl Hanout use for, or what is this coloured spice? Or so it had to be open, it had to be engaging, it had to be generous in what it offered. It also had to be grounded in hospitality that thankfully our culture's history is steeped in.
So tell me what the tradition of the deli as a place of gathering and as a, because it's a bit of a departure for you in that it's a much more retail focus than a hospitality one, although you clearly can't help yourself on the hospitality front. But why a deli?
Well, two things. In writing the book, I was writing about preserving olives and lemons and in and through those rituals, particularly in oral traditions where cultures are transmitted orally and not documented, those rituals become, I guess, a setting where the transmission of culture occurs. Women come together over preserving olives and lemons, and I don't so much care that a machine makes it. In fact, it's probably a lot easier for women. But it's what we lose in the face of that. So the deli was born out of this idea that women can come together, we make our produce, as is traditional, and it can become a platform where they can impart their wisdom onto the younger ones, and or be challenged, as we all can, and learn something every day.
What I love, though, the optimism of that and the generosity of that vision doesn't happen in a vacuum. Like, how do you find it has been received by, say, wholesalers who might traditionally be used to dealing with retailers who are men or who are a little less generous and community-minded in the way they want to set up their business model?
I mean, that's such an interesting question. And I was like you, a customer who came in and understood it superficially. And once we purchased it and embarked on this journey, very quickly in a crash course, learned that all those who import and all the power brokers and the wholesalers, and this is not unique to the Arabic or Lebanese or Muslim community. This is the same across the board when it comes to business and importing. Those activities are largely had by men, and women are attributed roles of admin at best, or maybe spring cleaning. And some of the criticism, I guess, even from traditional patrons of the nut shop, was, what are you doing here? give me your boss, give me your father, and give me your son, give me your neighbour, as long as he's a bloke that I can speak to. And that, to me, was confronting.
I like that you mentioned being uncompromising, because I have to say, my memories of the Moroccan soup bar, definitely hospitality, definitely generosity, definitely community. But the enduring one is of being uncompromising in the face of kind of trends, and I mentioned gentrification before. I remember walking in there getting a beautiful mint tea, and you sitting down with people, and it was all oral menu and oral tradition, and you had no time for food allergies or trends, or, oh no, I don't eat that, or a bit of this or a bit of that. You told people what they were going to eat, and you told them they were going to like it, and you were generally right. Is that the spirit you like to bring to your hospitality?
A little more serious, though. We've evolved somewhat on definitely taking allergies seriously. Allergies and intolerances to food. But outside of that, I just think there is an appetite for something a little different and less contrived and more honest in its expression. And people, although initially a little tentative, genuinely embrace it. And the more people appreciate and embrace, the more it rejuvenates us. And makes it worthwhile, and it reaffirms to me the notion of people decency.
So if I walk into the delicacy around lunchtime and you or one of your staff walk up to me to give me an oral menu, what are the treats you're going to tell me about?
So there's a number of options, and it is still evolving. It's fairly new. You could get some hummus, falafel, salad, and maybe a grain on a small open plate, or a more decent sized mixed open plate, which is a couple of grains, some grilled veggies, grilled halloumi, falafel, cauliflower.
I do like on cauliflower, the trends have finally caught up with you. You've been pushing cauliflower for years, and now it's very in vogue.
Oh, look, the poor humble cauliflower, I treat it like it's a person with emotions. You just kind of need to get the best out of it by creating the right set of circumstances. And on weekends, we've succumbed. And we're doing a breakfast, spoken breakfast menu, and it's either sweet or savoury.
So you're done for. You're as guilty of gentrification as everyone else now. Look at you. You'll have a brunch menu before we know it.
No, not at all. Is that gentrification? We're offering sweet or savoury, two options only. So we are introducing bits and pieces that are normally not had in Melbourne, in the hope that, you know, we can engage on the origins of a particular, you know, like the argan nut tree. How is it extracted? Where does it exist? And it only exists in one place in Morocco, extracted only by women.
Look, when it smells as good as this place smells and the menu sounds as promising as that, I'm definitely not going to argue with you. It's a base for community if ever there was one. Thank you so much for joining us today. I've been speaking with Hannah Asafiri, who is the author of Moroccan Soup Bar and the brains, heart and soul behind Moroccan delicacy and the Moroccan soup bar in Melbourne. You're listening to Blueprint for Living here on RN.